Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joey from Gallatin texting in the last segment. I'm surprised yet relieved that Harrison Bailey stayed after openly backing Pruitt alongside of his dad. Show some patience on Bailey's part. I feel like if he had gone into the portal, life would be even more difficult for the new coaches. I would say that is good news that Harrison Bailey stuck around for Tennessee. Now, we'll see how patient Harrison Bailey will remain if he's not the starting quarterback this year. What does that do at that point?
Well, and the thing is, so Hooker has – is that right that Hooker has – I get so confused now because you get the extra year, but Hooker has 1 year of eligibility left?
I believe so.
Milton has more, you know, so that's part of it too. Like if Hooker were to win the job, but you feel like you're ahead of Milton, then maybe you're like, okay, stick it out, be ready for my opportunity this year, and then I'm in good position if I keep progressing next year. But if it's Milton, then it's kind of like, okay.
Well, and let's be honest here. The likelihood is you're probably going to see all three of them. Like my guess is as the season progresses, whether it's injury – or the way this season could go for Tennessee, you're probably going to see every single one of those quarterbacks, would be my guess.
You might, but, I mean, this is supposed to be where Heupel's really good at the same time too, right? So if the strength of Heupel comes to the forefront immediately, then whoever's chosen, in theory, would be playing well.
Yeah.
Would be producing. That's in theory. You're probably more right.
We'll see
a couple of them.
Yeah, we'll see what happens on that front. Discussing college athletics right now, we've talked about this for a lot of the show today. Had Nicole Auerbach on earlier from The Athletic. Texas and Oklahoma look like they're going to be joining the SEC very soon. And, you know, the reports last night is it could be as quickly as next year, 2022, where Texas and Oklahoma are in there. Their grant of media rights agreements with the Big 12 currently last until 2025. And as Nicole pointed out earlier in the show, that'd be pretty awkward at this point. I mean, it's been a very public divorce between Texas and Oklahoma and the Big 12. There is money involved, and it would be very expensive for Texas and Oklahoma to break that contract early. My guess is they probably just bite the bullet and break that contract early and get into the SEC. At this point, I think I'd be surprised if next college football season, both Texas and Oklahoma were not in the SEC at this point in 2022.
I mean, there's one awkward season ahead, and yep, there's a big paycheck and lawyers and blah, blah, blah. Let's have some more legislators make statements. Let's have some more university presidents put out tweet storms shaming. I mean, I was here for the Oklahoma State president's tweet storm of shame that basically, you know, University of Oklahoma does not care about its citizens. And, you know, get rid of the awkwardness as quickly as possible. I'll be shocked if they are not playing in the SEC in 22. And then there's
that's
so
quite
much.
The turnaround from Friday's Call Your Shot Friday.
Yes. Well, hey, just keep calling those shots. Something will be right at some point, right?
That's right.
Again, to remind you, I didn't really think I was going to be right.
I know.
But that was a good shot at the time. A good called shot this Friday would be Texas and Oklahoma will begin SEC play in 2024.
Yes. Yes, it would be.
And there's so many questions about what happens in the aftermath of this. You know, the Big Ten, Pac-12, Andy Staples had this interesting idea about that. It's weird, but, I mean, honestly, it makes sense. If the Big Ten is going to do anything to actually try to advance itself in this big race to be the most powerful and rich
start
conference,
snatching up teams from the Pac-12.
That's about it. And then the Big 12, so the AAC, and actually David Ubbin and Staples have a story on the Big 12 that they call the Irate Eight. The leftover teams, the Irate Eight. So the American, according to a source in the American, wants to go to 16, right?
Okay.
And so they would go, they would add, if they had their choice, if they can do this, Baylor, TCU, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, West Virginia. But what the Big 12 does still have the brand power, and it also has the Power Five autonomy. Autonomy status in the NCAA structure, which is important. Now, so the Big 12, what about adding like Cincinnati and Central Florida, just adding the best possible on-field product. It makes no sense that you're, let's go to Ohio and let's go to Florida. And those are our two new Big 12 schools. But then also, we've talked about this yesterday, what about Houston? What about SMU?
Well, right now, if you're the Big 12, I think your top concern is keeping the schools that you still have, right? I mean,
well, right. That's the only way you're doing it is if you have this conversation and say, listen, we add this, and we can at least maintain, we can still be in better shape than anyone else below the top four.
Well, I bring that up because I think it's apparent at this point that some programs in the Big 12 are going to start trying to move. Like, West Virginia essentially is doing that right now. Nicole Auerbach put out a statement and kind of linked it out to the West Virginia website. I mean, it's on their website in West Virginia right now. And it starts off with the obligatory, you know, we're disappointed in the actions of Texas and Oklahoma in the Big 12, blah, blah, blah. And then basically the rest of the statement is a recruiting pitch for West Virginia and joining the ACC, or right. And they don't come out to say that, but that's essentially what it is.
But so, I have my doubts it's going to work.
It may not, but I'm just saying that's, I think it's obvious, and Nicole, I think, brings up a good point here. When things like this start to happen in college sports, what scares people in power more than anything is doing nothing and feeling powerless and just waiting on things to happen. They want to take the initiative. They want to make sure they're not left out in the cold. I think you're going to see some Big 12 teams start to look around a little bit and say, all right, Texas and Oklahoma is gone. We better find a landing spot before this thing just totally disintegrates on us and we're left out in the cold.
Some Big 12 schools.
Yeah.
Remember, this is higher education, right?
Yes.
Well, I agree. Like, so I think every school for itself, and then meanwhile you're still having discussions with each other about, okay, if we are still together, what does that look like? What do we add? How do we do it? I think West Virginia, certainly. If West Virginia could go to the ACC, they're jumping in. I mean, from a basketball perspective, they actually add some value. It's a good program. And then, of course, they're playing in arguably the best league. Well, I think the ACC is, you think about coaching changes and where things are going, that may not be true anymore. The SEC hoops, that's pretty good. But I think that they're going to try to do that. And I just have my doubts that the ACC is going to think that's adding enough value. I could be wrong, but then if that's the case, then this scenario comes into play. If they even just go, then that really strengthens the Americans' hope, right? The yep. AAC's hope of being the one that gobbles up the Big 12 rather than the other way around.
Raymond on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, is Memphis going to a Power 5 conference?
Well, is the Big 12 a Power 5 conference? They're not, really. I mean, they'd be like the – so you'd have like the Power 4, the Group of 5, and like the middle child.
Standalone, 12. Yes. Yeah.
So that's – but, I mean, the Memphis could be part of the Big 12. And when the smoke clears, Memphis could be part of the Big 12. And so some would say, hey, Memphis is in a Power 5 team. They really aren't anymore because – they really aren't because the Big 12 won't really be a Power 5 conference anymore. That's a huge definition of Power 5 if you still include them with the power right. brokers here. But it would still be, I mean, I think you could say it's another step up for Memphis. And it would be some interesting if that league were to, if the Irate 8 stay together.
I love that name.
That's fantastic. I think I'm going to give Ubbin credit for that. I mean, you're playing TCU, you're playing Baylor, playing West Virginia. It's good.
Yeah.
This isn't bad for everybody.
Well, what do you think of the idea that Jay Billis threw out there that the SEC, maybe it's not done, and if you're the ACC, you pick up the phone, you call Greg Sankey in the SEC offices and say, huh, what do you guys think about maybe merging together and just combining the SEC and the ACC?
So again,
I find that hard to believe, but.
I mean, at this point, I'm sure every possible phone call is happening. So the SACC.
Yeah.
Yes, so that's the Southeastern Atlantic Coast Conference?
I guess so.
So isn't it SEACC?
I'm just telling you what the initials were that somebody sent in on the text
line. But yeah, SAC is, yeah. Big sack of money.
Oh, boy. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jose texting in. with all of these super conferences setting up, it will soon be time for the players to unionize and truly get compensated for this ongoing money grab by the NCAA schools.
I understand the sentiment. Corey Curtis presented it yesterday, and I understand it. I'm just saying that's name, image, likeness, long time coming, should have happened a long time ago. It's all you need. It's not, they're not, and again, if you get to the point where it's unionized employees who are getting paid, then every single athlete at a school is going to get, has to get paid the same.
Yeah.
Essentially. I mean, I know that there's different interpretations of the federal law known as Title IX, but that is how I understand it. So it just, it's not going to happen. You can't separate football and say just the football players get paid. It's not name, image, likeness. Whatever you can get out there, get it.
We have more growing sense news in the NHL.
Uh-oh.
You ready for this? It's coming from Andy Strickland. Lots of eyes continue to stay on Gabriel Landeskog. There's a growing sense around him that he's leaning towards staying in Colorado. Both sides have been making each other sweat it out. No surprise it's coming down to the wire. So a growing sense that Gabriel Landeskog could be staying in Colorado with the Avalanche.
I never realized this was such a hockey term.
Apparently so.
Growing sense, eh? A
lot of growing senses in the NHL, apparently. See what happens on that front.
Shocking.
NHL free agency beginning tomorrow on July 28th. So we'll see how active or not active the Predators are in that respect. When we come back, we will get into the Tennessee Titans. Training camp officially opens today, on the field tomorrow. Mike Vrabel speaking at 11:30 today for the Titans as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Titans training camp getting underway today officially. Mike Vrabel speaking with the media at 11:30. Players hit the field tomorrow over at St. Thomas Sports Park, and training camp is here. All 32 NFL teams at this point reporting today for training camp. Some have already gotten underway with their training camp. So NFL season is here, football season is here, and 102.5 The Game is bringing you Nashville's best coverage of Titans training camp, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and the Cut Truck Mobile Barber Services as well. And we will have Mike Vrabel, Titans head coach, on our show tomorrow at 7 o'clock. So looking forward to being joined by Mike Vrabel tomorrow morning on Robbie and Rex Road at 7 a.m. Joe Rex Road, an in-person press conference today with Mike Vrabel at Titans training camp. How fired up are you about being able to go back and forth with Vrabel in person today?
I'm excited, but first I have to ask you, can you tackle in handball?
I don't think that's allowed.
I just saw someone tackle someone in handball.
I'm pretty sure that's not allowed.
There's a big Spain versus France women's handball game on. I don't know.
It's a great sport.
Network it is. It is, but I swear I just saw that. Someone let us know on the text line. I might Google it too.
Look up the rule book.
In the meantime, yes, very excited. This will be Mike Vrabel's, I believe, someone correct me if I'm wrong, first time talking to us in person since we were crowding around him in Indy at the Combine in February of 2020, about a month before the world changed quite dramatically. And we were asking him about, you know, Tom Brady, and what do you think of Tom Brady? Did you like him? Did you get along with him as a teammate? Would you like him to maybe be your quarterback? Things like that.
That was a fun time.
Didn't really tip his hand, but he actually had some pretty funny quotes. But that, I remember coming out of that thinking, well, the Titans have made it very clear they want Derrick Henry. You know, they want to work something out with Derrick Henry. Because, of course, at that time, we're like, are they going to tag him? What are they going to do?
Sure.
And a little less bullish about Tannehill publicly from Vrabel and John Robinson. But, of course, they ended up getting both those deals done. And that was a very strong part of an otherwise not good 2020 offseason. But now, Vrabel, after all these Zooms, it's fun. I think it'll be a lot of fun at the presser today. I will say, as much as I hate Zoom, and if I never had to get on Zoom again, I would not cry about it. The Zoom chats,
yeah,
when you can take shots at people while they're asking questions, and then everybody sees it and laughs about it, and every once in a while, Vrabel can't help himself but to laugh about it.
Yeah.
That's, I will kind of miss that.
Well, Vrabel taking shots at people too.
That's right.
On the Zoom chat.
He called me a clown, didn't he?
He did?
Yeah, that's right. He called me a clown last year.
Which was
kind of accurate.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what I was doing that day, but I was going to make that my Twitter heading, but I forgot about it. Maybe I can go.
It's not too late.
Joe Restaurant might be the new leader in the clubhouse, though.
Joe Restaurant. I have not referred to you as Clown. Joe Restaurant as frequently as I promised that I would. After that found its way onto the closed captioning on the, what was that? Was that ESPN? Was that the SEC Network? What was that?
So Brian McGee sent it to me. It was whatever network was showing. It must have been one of the ESPNs.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
It was the College World Series. Yeah.
It was College World Series press conference. And yeah. I got to find this too.
Joe Restaurant.
And it's a great picture. It's like Corbin is getting a question. Well, I guess he's getting it for me. And the picture of him looks like he's listening to the dumbest question ever asked, which he may have been. Yeah. Well, you know what? No, because it says our next question will be from Joe Restaurant. Here it is. Look at this.
Our next question will be from Joe Restaurant. Look at Corbin's expression. It's like, all right, cool.
He looks very excited to be
talking to you.
Having Joe Restaurant ask him about something. But anyway, yeah, the chat, I love a lot of ripping on Kaharski in there.
Yeah.
A lot of ripping on Stillman in there. We'll kind of miss that.
Maybe you do it in person today. Just a little backhand talking while somebody else is asking a question.
Well, that could certainly happen. We will miss Teresa, though.
Yeah. Over in Tokyo covering the Olympics.
Vrabel always gives Teresa the first question, so then that's the next question. Who gets the first question at the Teresa Walker-less presser today?
Will it be you?
No.
Probably not.
It will not be me.
Probably not. As I'm sure we know, there will be two things that will be brought up a lot, both today and kind of throughout the league as they go forward. Obviously, with every team, injuries, what's going on that front. I'm sure that Mike Vrabel and the Titans probably won't have a ton to say about Caleb Farley and a ton to say about Bud Dupree and company and people dealing with injuries today as they normally don't. And vaccinations will be brought up as well. It's been funny. I've been following along this morning with Stephen Holder in Indianapolis, and they're basically going like player by player, updating who's vaccinated, who's not vaccinated. And I would imagine that's going to be a popular question today with the Titans as well. And when players start to be made available to the media as well.
Yeah. And then that brings up the question to me, and I should know this, but I don't. So I'll just blab about it publicly and show how dumb I am. If players are brought to a presser or brought to this like mixed zone, would they bring unvaccinated players?
That's a good question. I mean, I wouldn't think so.
And if that's the case, then you don't need to ask the question.
Right.
Whoever shows up, we know they're vaccinated. But maybe I'm wrong. Someone help me out.
Just makes sense.
I'm gonna text someone with the Titans.
There you go. We'll figure out the answer to that question. Got a texter on the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Speaking of vaccinations, the NFL impact with Frank Wright testing positive after being vaccinated, does this turn the NFL upside down? So if you missed it yesterday, Frank Reich, head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, testing positive for COVID. He has been vaccinated. How do you think this is handled by the NFL? Because this will not, Frank Reich will not be the last person this happens to as they go out throughout the process here. How do you think they handle vaccinated people testing positive, both in the preseason before training camp, but also once the season starts and you get kind of on that weekly schedule as well?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, this is why if you get to a certain point, now, right now they still have testing every 2 weeks, but
yeah,
the whole idea is if everybody's vaccinated, then you could have it and you would still be safe. And you would not be as transmissible, all these things. And all that is still true. But you're still going to have positives. I mean, at this point, I guess it's just like John Rahm, right?
Yeah. He's tested positive twice.
Yeah. He's been vaccinated for a while. He's missed a tournament he would have won in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Sucks. I mean, it sucks. But I don't – I mean, the way – so, like, the NC State situation, right? I mean, that was triggered by someone being sick, but the NCAA, I mean, the rules of 85% were basically then now you can just go about your business. The idea being when we get to a certain point of vaccination, we have herd immunity, and then we are protected collectively against the virus.
Right. So, it happened with Frank Reich yesterday. That's not going to be the last time we see this come up in the NFL. So, be interested to see what happens on that front. I think when you look at Dupree and Farley with the Titans, my guess is, based on Mike Vrabel's history, going to be very cautious with injuries in training camp. Now, I think Dupree and Farley are two different scenarios, too. Like, Dupree's obviously been in the league, and he has been a productive player in the league. So, preseason, not really all that important for him. I think just getting him back up to full speed and to football shape is important for him. Farley, you want as many reps as you can get out of him. So that's going to be an interesting balance if you're the Titans. When and if he's healthy and ready to go for training camp, how do you balance the need to get him out there and to get him on the field and to get those reps? Because remember, he's not played football in 2 years. He needs some reps. How do you balance that while also trying to make sure that he's healthy and ready for the long haul of an NFL season? That's going to be kind of an interesting balance that Mike Vrabel and this staff are going to have to walk with Caleb Farley.
Well, I can't imagine any conversation that's like, oh, he's just got to get ready now. You know?
Sure.
I mean, it's a pick that you hope gives you a top cornerback for years, and certainly there's room for him to help this year. But I just think it's very simply be as cautious as possible with him. That'd be my guess. I'd be surprised if there's any, you know, the discussion about urgency with him this year. Even though, if he misses a lot of the season, people are going to be mad. People are going to be mad.
Right, but if he's not playing, they need him on the field this year. You've got Fulton, and you've got Janoris Jenkins. You've got Elijah Molden coming in as well. But, what are the odds that everybody in the secondary is going to stay healthy this year? Probably not very high.
No, for sure. I mean, look, if he's not able to play this year, a lot of this year, then, again, you go back and say, what did you think? Think on draft night, and how different is reality from it? It has to be somewhat different,
right?
But I'm just saying, during camp, even if it means the first month of the season is just very limited and you're still learning and you're just not comfortable with him out there yet, comfortable in terms of a rookie in the defense, then you live with that.
Yeah, I would say so. Coming up next,
it'll be disappointing if he's not out there at all during camp, of course.
Coming up next, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. The power rankings have come out at theathletic.com, and are the Titans already being disrespected before the season even begins? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Adam Schefter has put out a picture of Aaron Rodgers waltzing his way back into Packers training camp this morning, wearing a T-shirt from The Office, the television series, and sunglasses that are bigger than his head while walking back in with a man bun. It's quite the photo with Aaron Rodgers walking back into the Green Bay Packers facility today.
So he's saying that Brian Gutekunst is Michael Scott.
Maybe so. That could be what he's saying.
So Michelle.
I wonder what that conversation's like once they get in there.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Brian. What's going on, buddy? Good to see you.
Hey. Good to see you, pal.
Anything happen this offseason?
Meanwhile, Michelle sends us. Okay, so Bakhtiari was upset with him?
He was joking.
Okay. And then it becomes this Packers OT took it personally.
Yes. Yeah, he was joking.
Yeah, media. I said it as a joke.
Yeah.
He posted it. He was like, I'm upset. And then everybody thought he was actually upset.
See,
they work out together.
This is why the media gets ripped on.
A lot of interesting characters at left tackle in this league. Taylor Lewan, David Bakhtiari, they're cut from the same cloth. Very interesting guys.
Yeah, not always.
Not always, but a couple of those right there. Something else.
Actually, offensive linemen, I would say, by and large, if you pick a position group that's most interesting and off the wall, probably.
Yeah.
Probably those guys.
Well, you got to be
the amount of eating alone is
The amount of eating,
special.
But you've got to be a little bit off your rocker anyway to just sign up for, hey, every single snap, I'm going to just charge into this other gigantic human being and sit there and hit each other all play long.
Yeah.
Takes a different kind of person to do that.
That's true. So you also would rather do that than pass pro all game.
That is true. That is true.
So I'm DMing with Teresa Walker. So we've got Vrabel. We got Vrabel and Teresa Walker from Tokyo tomorrow.
That's right.
There you go.
Vrabel coming on the show tomorrow at 7 o'clock. We'll get Teresa Walker on from Tokyo as well. So it's going to be an all encompassing edition of Robbie and Retro tomorrow here on the show. Right now, discussing the Titans in training camp. And, Joe, you've been a part of a piece at TheAthletic.com along with, I think, 30 of your other colleagues at The Athletic that have put together power rankings for the NFL, each team as they head into training camp. And I was very interested when I saw and clicked on this piece to figure out where the Titans fit in this ranking. And I'm not necessarily surprised too much by where the Titans are, and I'm not surprised by the team that's directly in front of them because I wondered what this would look like. At number 10 in the power rankings, the Indianapolis Colts. Carson Wentz coming into town, the Indianapolis Colts at number 10 on the power rankings. Number 11, one spot behind the Colts, the Tennessee Titans. So the Colts getting a little bit more love in the power rankings than the Tennessee Titans. You and I have talked about this, and it's a two-team race in the AFC South. I think the Titans are the favorite. I think they should be the favorite. I like the Titans better than I like the Colts in terms of my confidence of winning this division. I don't know that that's going to be the case nationwide. I think the Colts are going to receive a lot of love. The Vegas lines reflect that as well. It's very close between the Titans and the Colts. Are you surprised in the power rankings at TheAthletic.com that the Colts are ranked higher than the Titans?
Not super surprised. But I voted, like you said, I had the Titans 6th or 7th overall. I had them 3rd in the AFC. I had them ahead of the Colts by, you know, a few spots. Not a ton of spots, but a few spots. And so imagine if that homer vote wasn't in there, where this would end up. There's some people who, it's a combination probably, some people who have real misgivings about the Titans defense, which is totally fair. Some people who love the Colts roster and think Carson Wentz is going to have a total career renaissance reunited with Frank Reich. That's fair. Could happen. But I think you touched on it earlier, and I think that the Tannehill disrespect is probably the tiebreaker. You know,
but isn't that not strange where people have more, I guess, appreciation or hope in Carson Wentz than they do Ryan Tannehill at this point? Like, what am I missing? I get it. He's going back and he's reunited with his old coach. That's fine. He's got a better offensive line. I think there's a good chance Carson Wentz comes in and plays okay for the Indianapolis. But, like, I think some people think he's going to turn back into this MVP candidate, and I don't see it. I could be wrong. I just don't see it.
I don't either. I don't really agree with either the extreme expectations of Wentz. I mean, I don't think he's going to come in and completely stink it up.
No.
I don't think he's going to come in and be an MVP. I think he's probably going to be pretty good. Is he going to be better than Phillip Rivers last year? I don't know. He's a very different quarterback. I mean, he can do a lot more athletically if he's all healthy. So that's going to help them. He's also a little bit less prone, for the most part, to making those ridiculous mistakes that Rivers has just always made. But Rivers also will get you about 70% completion rate, 4,000 yards, and win a lot of games and score you a lot of touchdowns and just befuddle the heck out of defenses with his efficiency. So I just don't know that it's some huge upgrade overall. I think the Tannehill thing is, I don't know why. That's a great question. Like, those two guys, my tiebreaker is that. That's my tiebreaker.
In favor of the Titans.
Yeah, that's my tiebreaker. I feel better about the Titans quarterback than the Colts quarterback. And I think everybody should feel that way. But obviously they don't.
Talk about the – I mean, there's some interesting spots on this list, these power rankings. At number four, the Baltimore Ravens at number four. Now, don't get me wrong. I think the Ravens are a very good team. I don't know that I'd have them at number four in the league. Like, that seems a little high to me, with the Ravens being at number four. We've talked about the love fest for the L.A. Rams. They're at number five on this list as well. So the Rams and the Ravens both in the top five. Obviously Buffalo at number three, Tampa Bay at number two, Kansas City at number one in the power rankings at TheAthletic.com.
Are Tampa Bay fans mad, by the way?
Probably.
They just won it.
They just crushed the Chiefs.
I mean.
But come on.
I mean, come on.
Take the dub. Take the ring. Be happy.
The Titans are number six in terms of AFC teams on this list. So ahead of them were obviously the Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens, the Browns, and the Colts. The Browns coming in at number 7 on this list. Jadeveon Clowney.
That's true. Clowney tips the scales.
He is mentioned in this piece.
That's right. I mean, look.
I think the Browns will be pretty good.
I think the Browns will be good. I mean, I like the Browns roster a lot. I like the Browns. I like the Bills, Ravens, Titans. I think that's – and then and Colts. I mean, I would put them at the back end of that group, but that's the group right behind the Chiefs in my mind. And you can kind of mix them up. I put the Bills ahead of the Titans, and I put the Titans ahead of the Browns and the Colts. But it's close.
The Chargers getting a lot of love, too. They're at number 13 on this list, and – I think Lindsey Jones is the one that kind of like put all the pieces together and started each comment section off.
Yeah.
And she says, quote, "I'm not going to call anyone out here publicly, but if my colleague who picked the Chargers at number 6 would like to identify himself or herself in the comments below, that would be great." So apparently somebody at The Athletic had the LA Chargers at number 6 in the power rankings.
Is it Chargers beat writer Daniel Popper? Is there a bigger homer than me?
I don't know.
I'm looking through the comments to see if anybody fessed up. Wow.
Number 6.
I don't see any confessions.
I don't either. I don't know. Look, I get it. Justin Herbert had a phenomenal year. Joey Bosa's coming back. You know, you got a new coaching staff coming in as well. I think there's a lot to like about the Chargers. Whoever voted for them at number 6, I'm like, I don't know about that. That's a little high.
Yeah, that's absolutely too high. Yes. So many things have to break right. But they could be one of those surprise teams. There's a lot in the AFC. Actually, now that you mention the comments, I'm going through them. Connor C., even at 32 out of 32, I think the Texans are ranked way too high.
Yes. Yes. The bottom two teams, and this is now in the Athletics poll, and I think ESPN came out with one as well. Detroit and Houston seem to be pretty universally assumed to be the worst two teams in the league.
I don't say nice things about the Lions too often, but I like the Lions better than the Texans.
Yeah, me too.
Let me tell you.
Me too. Although the Texans still have Deshaun Watson at this moment.
Yeah, I guess technically that is true.
See what happens on that front.
Something should be happening soon on that front.
You would think so. When we come back, we'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, and also the SEC has come out with a statement about adding Oklahoma and Texas. We'll get to that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Joe, you're not going to believe this, but the SEC and Commissioner Greg Sankey have come out with a statement regarding Texas and Oklahoma and the rumors that they're involved in pursuing the SEC. Would you like to hear that statement? We're going to do it right now.
Oh, he actually said it out loud?
No. I'm going to read it.
Oh, you're going to read it. Yeah,
yes.
Read it. Yes.
This coming from SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. Quote, "The University of Oklahoma and the University of Texas, two esteemed academic institutions with storied athletics programs, today submitted formal requests for invitations to become members of the Southeastern Conference in 2025. While the SEC has not proactively sought new members, we will pursue significant change when there is a clear consensus among our members that such actions will further enrich the experiences of our student-athletes and lead to greater academic and athletic achievement across our campuses. The presidents and chancellors of the SEC, in their capacity as the conference's chief executive officers, will consider these requests in the near future. Per the bylaws of the SEC, a vote of at least 3/4 of the SEC's 14 members is required to extend an invitation for membership." That is the statement from Greg Sankey of the SEC regarding the two esteemed academic institutions submitting their requests formally in the University of Oklahoma and the University of Texas.
There's so much steam coming off that pile of poo I can barely see in front of my face. Amazing.
You're that was an incredible statement.
Make sure you get the academic first. And make sure you talk about how this is about enriching the experiences of your student-athletes.
And also, while the SEC has not proactively sought new members, we will pursue significant change.
Actually, now that you mention it, we will consider this. Thank you for bringing this to our attention, Texas and Oklahoma. We will now think about maybe adding you. We will convene. Let's go meet in College Station, Texas.
So, in all seriousness, this is probably going to get approved like tomorrow or Thursday. We're very close to Texas and Oklahoma being in the SEC.
Yeah, Thursday is the day, right? Yep. Yeah, that's the day the presidents are. Yeah, they will talk. They will delve into the academic offerings of both of these fine universities and determine whether this makes sense or not.
Yeah.
Do we think
the vote ends up being 14-0, or does Texas A&M hold strong?
I hope Texas A&M does not buckle. Make sure everybody knows. No.
We didn't want this.
Yeah, we're not on the same page.
Should we predict what we think they're going to be?
I say Texas A&M holds strong. I'm going 13-1.
I'm going 14-0.
Yeah, you think they're going to just fall in line? Well, that I guess one thing about that is, Michelle, you're a tiebreaker.
I was going to say 13-1, too. Okay. I hope Texas A&M stays strong.
I will, but see, from their perspective, some people will make the case. No, but we can spin this. No, we wanted this all along.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, we welcome this. We wanted this rivalry to resume. This is great.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't do anything about it, you may as well pretend like it doesn't kill you inside.
Sure. I think it's going to be 14-0.
More statements from Greg Sankey. That's fantastic. Not only has he just gone out there and just slit Bob Bowlesby's throat, now he's dumping a huge pile of manure in the grave.
Well said. Well done by Greg Sankey and the SEC on that front. Nicole Auerbach, who we had on the show earlier, tweeting out, quote, "It's cute how Texas, Oklahoma, and the SEC coordinated the timing of their statements today. Definitely a new relationship that has absolutely not been planned or in the works for months."
Maybe a little sarcasm.
Maybe so. So it looks like we're on the fast track for Texas and Oklahoma becoming members of the SEC, that officially being formalized today and the request being formalized from Texas and Oklahoma. And we will see what happens on that front. I would imagine Thursday there'll probably be new members of the SEC. Jeff on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. "Thank you, Joe, for speaking the truth and calling that BS statement the BS that it is. Like everything, it's always about money. Joe Rexroad, you are a truth speaker here on the show."
Well, that's nice, but can we talk about Adam Vingan right now?
What's he doing?
So, this awesome picture of Aaron Rodgers on this big day for you in Packard Nation or Cheesehead Nation, whatever the hell you guys call each other. Vingan quote tweets it and says, "I've never understood the appeal of The Office."
Really?
What?
Look, I will admit, I mean, I've watched it. It's not my favorite thing, but it's good. I like it.
I mean, when you watch The Office, it doesn't make you laugh?
Yeah, it's funny. But it's not like my favorite show ever, like it is some people, but it's good. So, I don't know. I don't think Vingan's seen it.
But that's, I mean, how weird is that?
I've never seen it.
Really?
No, I couldn't get into it.
It blows me away. But this is also coming from someone who, and this is bad parenting 101 here again. I've got a lot of those segments. My 10-year-old daughter has watched every episode of that.
Yeah.
Multiple times, and actually, if there's not something that someone wants to put on the TV, she just defaults puts The Office on the TV. Loves it, which I don't like it that much, but I think it's one of the. Yeah, it's in the short list of funniest shows ever. Like, I love The Simpsons, Vingan, but, you know, you got to give The Office a chance.
I will say Adam Vingan kind of put the torches to Ryan Porth. Porth tweeted back at him and said, "You're not American, Adam." And Adam Vingan's response on Twitter was, "Neither is The Office, since it was adapted from a British show."
That's pretty good. By the way, that's awesome, too. And we watched that before The American Office. But it's only a 2-season show, The British Office. Highly recommend. Hilarious. Gareth was Dwight before
that I have
Dwight.
Not seen.
Gareth was Dwight before Dwight.
What do you think about this take from Andrew? That 70s show is better than The Office. I like that 70s
show. I disagree, but I love that 70s show.
I would say I would agree with that.
Yeah.
But that is basically because my father is Red Foreman. So so there's it's a very personal connection.
That is a great show, actually.
It's awesome.
I mean, that's, yeah. Pass the Ducci on the left-hand side.
That's right. Some great shows out there. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we'll have to get Vin get involved with The Office.
But, like, anybody who – look, like, I'll forgive you, Michelle. I'd like you to, you know, check it out.
I'll try it.
At some point.
I'll try it.
But Vingan's old. He should have seen this.
Yeah, I mean, but so he says he's never seen the appeal. That tells me that he has actually tried. Like, have you watched? I mean, to me, I don't know how you aren't hooked on that show after two episodes, but I also think Seinfeld is probably still number one, and that's a pretty polarizing show. Some people don't like that much.
I like Seinfeld. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Vincent texting in from Dixon. That statement would have been less offensive if he just said, because we can, it's about the money, deal with it. Talking about Greg Sankey's statement.
I mean, I honestly think that when Sankey was crafting that statement, there were at least a couple times where he cackled, cackle, right? Like, this is just hilarious. Let's really play up the academic part of this.
Yes.
But remember, Sankey works for the presidents. The presidents vote. Sankey doesn't vote. Sankey makes all this stuff happen. He's like the fixer, right? He's like the wolf.
Yeah.
He's Warren Wolf. But the bosses are still the president, so they need to feel good about this statement and talking about the student athletes.
I think they probably feel fine about it.
Yes. They're probably cackling an evil cackle, too.
Adam Vingan texting me in all capital letters, I'm not old, and that he's tried The Office. It's not funny. That's a direct quote.
We don't have time today.
Maybe we'll discuss this tomorrow.
We have like 60 seconds left, but that's just ridiculous. Might have to be the next rant. Elijah, yay or nay on The Office? Oh, my God. All right. Just get me out of here today.
Nate texting in, the best Seinfeld episode is when Kramer puts his shirt in the oven for it to be warm. So, Nate, a big fan of Seinfeld as well.
I actually like the pirate shirt episode a lot, where Jerry has to wear the puffy pirate shirt on the Today Show.
Michelle, have you seen Seinfeld? There's no way she's seen Seinfeld, right?
I've seen episodes. Okay. My stepdad is a huge fan.
Okay.
But not religiously.
How about Curb Your Enthusiasm? Yeah. That's like Seinfeld with an edge.
It is. It is.
top five shows ever. Top five comedies ever. Curb, Seinfeld, Office.
You've got 10 seconds.
Robbie and Rex Road?
Yeah, put us on the list.
Well, if we could read Greg Sankey's statements all day, we would be a comedy hour.
That is true. That does it for us here today on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren, Donick, and Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.